This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, a powerful antidote and elixir for the toxins of right-wing talk radio. Your humble host is on vacation. You can call in on our regular toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. So pick up the phone and show some love from the left coast for the man from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Collins Show. No place I'd rather be. I know he told you to give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, but I don't think you need to. We did some tests over the break there. Even got Peter B. on the phone from Ohio, where he is vacationing all week. Of course, there's no place I'd rather go than Ohio on vacation. Anyway, seems to be some equipment failures up there at the network headquarters, the hub in San Francisco, making it tough to bring in your phone calls. But we've got a plan Z. You can try to give us a call, try to put you on the air. I don't think it's going to work. Anyway, got another big hour for you here. I should waste no more time. We want to get over to our Green News Report in a minute. We're going to have John Gideon from Daily Voting News coming up later this hour, and Michael Osterlink of the American Conservative Defense Alliance, who, believe it or not, is calling for diplomacy in Iraq. Yes, an actual conservative. Who actually understands what it means to have a foreign policy that is not interventionist all over the world. When I was guest hosting a few weeks back on our affiliate, actually a few months back on our affiliate Green 960 for my friend John Scott out there, it occurred to me that a Green News segment would be nice to do on Green 960. As Peter B. has heard on Green 960, and as we had such a good time with the Green News, say, oh, wait a minute, I got to get the theme music. Des, you standing
by? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, got to get the theme music. Hang on. Okay, I'll get the theme music. It's not a Green News update unless you have the right theme music. Anyway, I may have to play it at the end of the segment if I can.
Well, I'm fine with that. Last time you wouldn't let me finish, so.
Oh, okay.
You had so many little comments to add.
Well, I have to make comments. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the right. Here we go.
It's not easy being green.
Okay, there we go. Our Green News update.
It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary
theme song.
Satisfied now?
I am.
Okay.
Are you? All right, Desi Doyen's got us, joins us for the today's Green News update. We're going to try to do it all week as we host every day except Wednesday when Peter will be back. So, what you got for us? And
well, actually,
I won't disturb you. Go ahead.
Oh, you can disturb me.
I won't break into your...
I was just wondering if Peter has been dealing with any of the crazy weather they've been having in the Midwest since he's up there in Ohio. And
we got record heat in the
Northeast.
East
we
Coast.
Got record rain and
flooding.
There was
in
a dam in Wisconsin that was completely breached and swept away five homes in the Wisconsin Dells Resort.
And you're saying
area.
You're suggesting this must be due to global warming.
Well, that was one of the things that scientists had predicted in the International Panel on Climate Change from the UN. They had predicted that there would be some sort of changes, turbulent weather, unexpected weather, basically climate destabilization would cause all kinds of, wacky weather like we have been seeing. So this is completely in line with the expectations and predictions of the scientists.
Okay, well.
Sad to say.
Yeah.
And also, it's going to have a big effect, these floods and rains on the crops and like the corn and soybean crops that are going to be used for creating ethanol and all that good stuff. You know, we're like, I think the United States is one.
But you don't think ethanol is good stuff, right?
I don't. I mean, there are lots of good ecological reasons to not rely on ethanol. But for the moment, since it is one of the reasons why the price of corn has gone up so much, you know, the demand on ethanol in other countries and drought and all of that, that this the crop failure that may come from this flooding may actually shoot up the price of corn even higher.
Well, the price of corn is hardly the problem given the price of fuel. And I know you've got some tips, what, tips and myths about fuel-saving costs?
Well, you know, as the price is skyrocketing, people are throwing out all kinds of ideas. Oh, things you can put in your gas tank, things you can add onto your engine to help you increase your fuel economy. And the folks at Consumer Reports actually did a little investigating, and they decided to tell us which ones are actually true.
Investigating. Oh, okay.
So now you've heard the one about if you should fill up your gas tank in the cooler early morning hours.
I have not.
You had not heard that. The theory is that, you know, if you wait until the morning when it's cooled down, then the gas will actually be denser because gas expands in the heat. And so you'll be able to actually, it'll be more dense. You'll get more gas per gallon into your gas tank.
If you fill up when it's cool.
If you fill up when it's cool.
That's the myth.
Right. That is a myth, actually. Now, they do found that, well, I mean, it does actually expand just a little bit, but it's such a small change that it actually wouldn't have any effect, really, more than 80 cents, say, on 20 gallons of gas.
So fill up anytime. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. And also, because, you know, when the gasoline comes out of the nozzle, you know, the underground storage tanks keep it pretty much at a straight same temperature all day. So there's not really that much variation.
All right.
But it is true that gas stations will raise their prices throughout the course of a day. So if you fill up in the early morning, you may actually pay literally less per gallon than if you waited till the afternoon. But it has nothing to do with temperature.
But now why might they also might lower their prices throughout the day, no?
They might, but they won't. They never do.
Okay.
And also, it is true that some people say that, you know, that they think that they have to have premium-grade gasoline if it's recommended in their owner's manual because they think that will create better fuel economy. And that is not the case.
Another myth.
All right. You don't have to use premium-grade gasoline unless it's actually required in your owner's manual. Otherwise, you're pretty much just wasting money.
And premium out here in Los Angeles
is almost $5 a gallon at this point. And also, another popular
belief. Actually, it is $5. I saw a couple of stations that had it over $5.
Yeah, and another popular belief. Now, this is something that NASCAR fans know about. You know, when you tailgate close behind another car, this is what NASCAR's drivers do to create their own fuel economy. You drive right behind them, it creates this little pocket without wind resistance.
That's right.
And that just takes off just a little bit. But the researchers have found that, yeah, there is a pocket that you could drive on in the back, but in order for you to take advantage of it, you'd have to actually be almost touching the bumper of the car in front of you, and when you're driving on the highway, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, okay.
So they didn't recommend that.
Not so much a myth as just insane.
Right.
Okay.
Basically insane. And the other thing that they said you could do, you know, a spotless air filter. They say, oh, you should change your air filter every time you get your oil changed. Doesn't really have an effect. They said modern engine.
Well, did they have any actual tips? They debunked all these myths. Did they have any actual tips?
Well, actually, yeah. One that is true is to drive gently. To slow down, and also, you'll love this, to keep your tires inflated to the proper pressure.
That's
because
it.
Underinflated tires will actually cause more drag. Overinflated tires are actually not safe on the road, so there you go.
So drive slow, drive gently.
Drive like your mom told you to, and then keep your tires inflated properly like
you
your dad
my mom.
Told you to.
Yeah, she doesn't, I wouldn't drive like she recommends. Now, so that's it? That's all they got?
Well, that's all they had for tips and tricks, yeah.
All right.
That's pretty much. Oh, wait, there was one more thing.
What else?
You know those funny little add-ons that they sell on the web and on, you know,
TV late
night?
Oh, yeah, save gas money.
Exactly. They say that they're going to improve fuel economy. Well, no, not so much.
They don't?
Yeah. Basically, CNN said this. They pointed out what I thought was a really great idea.
My father bought one of those, does he?
Yes, he did. And
he says it saved him.
He says it does. Now, there's an explanation for this. They think now, if this were true, that you could significantly improve your gas mileage by putting on this little add-on device or something easy like that, well, gosh, they said, don't you think the car companies would have done that already? The researchers at Edmunds.com, the auto site.
You know, I wasn't sure how to answer that because part of me says, well, yeah, of course they would. But on the other hand, no, they wouldn't.
Well, they might.
I mean, why didn't they put a plug on the back of the hybrid? Why did General Motors destroy the EV1, the electric car?
But this would be
do they give a damn about the oil?
No money at all for them, and they could add it on if it really made a difference, rather than fighting and paying all those lobbyists to lobby Congress to keep them from changing the mileage.
Okay, so, if you say so.
I do.
I think if it saved an extra gallon, mile per gallon, they wouldn't necessarily do it.
Yeah.
If it cost them 25 cents, they wouldn't do it.
You think?
That's just me.
Well, that's what CNN disagrees with.
Yeah, well, I'm cynical. Oh, and CNN disagrees with me?
Yeah.
Then I'm definitely right. All right, next. Oh, how did the, you said the Senate, the Green, tell us real quickly.
Change.
We got to get to a break here.
Sorry,
but,
climate change legislation, the Senate Republicans really helped out with that. They made sure that there was a filibuster. And in order to prevent the debate from actually stopping on the floor to get to a vote, they had the Senate clerks read the entire 500-page bill out loud. It took about 8 hours, and by that time they were done with that, then they realized that, you know, they weren't going to be able to get a vote going, so they were not able to cut off debate, and so we will have to wait until, oh gosh, I don't know, 2010 maybe before we'll get to another
the
one.
Republicans are creeps, but they know how to legislate. They know how to get in there and block. They know how to maneuver. The Democrats could have done that for the past 7 years. They haven't. I ain't holding it against them. Well, I guess I'm sort of holding it against them. But what I'm saying,
global warming.
I'm not hating them. I want them to change. I want them to figure it out. The Democrats.
Understand.
I don't know if they ever will. Desi Doyen with our Green News Update. Thank you, Desi.
Thank you.
You're back tomorrow with another?
If you let me.
Will there be me? Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it later. Thank you, Desi. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with John Gideon of VotersUnite.org. Get our daily voting news update. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. Stay with us.
Are you interested in saving thousands of dollars on your medical expenses? You can travel abroad with OneWorldHealthcare.org to a top-class medical center and get quality care for a fraction of the cost. Savings of up to 75% are realistic. OneWorldHealthcare.org.
John Gideon writes daily voting news. He posts it at brandblog.com every day, as well as VotersUnite.org and many other places. Keeps us up to date on what's going wrong and right in the election system here. And I want to sort of get a quick roundup of how things went now that at least the federal primaries are over. But first, do we have any breaking issues today, since there seems to be something breaking every day in that regard, John?
No, it's a quiet day.
Oh, that's a good day.
Back and feet up and pretty much did nothing.
Really?
So, yeah, well, tomorrow, however, we have some congressional primaries in South Dakota. South Carolina, I'm sorry, North Dakota, Virginia, and Maine, and early voting starts for the Utah primary.
And that was exactly, and these I would encourage people to go out and vote, because these local primaries are important. That was, I was voting in a local primary, a state primary here in Los Angeles last week when my votes were flipped. It's a good chance to go out there and see if the equipment works, see if you're on the registration rolls. And so those are all happening tomorrow, correct?
Those are happening tomorrow.
Okay.
And I want to echo about the registration rolls. This will be the big issue this year. I can just about guarantee it. The voting machines are always going to be problems. This is going to be, voter registration will be the issue. There will be people who have been voting all the way along who will suddenly find themselves not on the rolls and not able to vote. And we are encouraging everywhere, every time I speak before people on the radio, wherever, I always encourage people to check your registration.
And that
now,
even if
check
you
it just before the registration, the final registration date in your state, do it two or three times. Make a pest of yourself checking to make sure that it's good.
And that would be even if you've already voted in the primaries the previously, to keep checking and make sure you're there, right?
Yes, because some of those election officials, they're sneaky, and they'll go out and do what they can to wipe the rolls of as many people as what they can, and we're liable to end up with any state or many states, just like what happened in Florida in 2000.
So your biggest concern here, is it dirty tricks, people trying to purge these roles, or is it the failure of the companies like ES&S and so forth, the same people who made the voting machine that broke when I used it out here, just incompetence on their part? Or does it matter?
I think all of the above and none of the above. It's going to be a problem. People need to check, encourage their friends. All of the national organizations out there need to get behind this and go out and do something to get people to check their registrations and make sure they're still registered.
And I'm seeing, John, one of the stories I've been covering closely. It looks like Fox News is still pounding the drum on this voter fraud. I'm sorry, on this voter fraud business. They're still acting like they're doing this investigation. They're claiming that there's all kinds of dead people who are voting. Do you see anything, any legitimacy to any of this nonsense other than to try to get people to be challenged at the polls with these photo ID laws? Is there any legitimacy?
That's what I see. It's just it is something to. I mean, they can't right now, they can't prove incidents of voter fraud except against our friend, but they can't prove it. And so they're making accusations, doing all they can to manufacture voter fraud so they can get voter ID and keep people away from the polls with that.
And they've set up an address, voterfraud@foxnews.com, for tips on voter fraud. And I've encouraged people to write to voterfraud@foxnews.com and let them know to check out the story of Ann Coulter, who did commit voter fraud. We've got the documents at Brad Blog to prove it. Hands down, send a note to voterfraud@foxnews.com and tell them to go to Brad Blog to check out Ann Coulter's voter fraud.
I wasn't the only one that did that.
Did you send them a note? Did you tell them? Did they write back?
I sent them an email and said, hey, check out Ann Coulter.
Did they send you a thank you note for your
tip?
No,
nothing.
Okay. I'm going to give you a tip before we get out, and this is a big tip, John. Raw Story now has the article. But Kucinich has presented articles of impeachment, 35 of them, against George W. Bush.
He is on the floor right now reading them.
And I will go ahead and disclose that I was asked about to help a bit. And there should be, if they're still in there, some articles that have to do with elections, articles of impeachment. That's just breaking now. We're going to get caught up on the other side. John Gideon, thanks for all. We'll talk to you tomorrow. John
Thank
Gideon
you.
From VotersUnite.org. Stick with us. Impeachment against Bush. We'll be back.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast. I'm off on vacation, and pleased to welcome your able blogger and all-around radio guy, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com.
There you go. Articles of impeachment have now been introduced. 35 articles of impeachment. Are being read right now in the House of the on the floor of the House of Representatives. We hope to have David Swanson to come on and talk with us in a bit about this breaking news. 35 articles of impeachment being brought against George W. Bush by Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and I should disclose I was asked to participate somewhat in that in those articles, and I did submit some information concerning elections and some impeachment-worthy articles. We're going to talk with David Swanson about that shortly, that breaking news right now on the floor of the House of Representatives. First, however, we're going to speak with Michael Osterlink. I may have just broken some news to you there, Michael.
Hey, Brad.
How are you, sir?
Not bad, thank you.
Michael, where are my notes? They're all gone. I don't know where they are. Michael Osterlink. Link. I'm going to do this from memory. President of the American Defense, American Conservative Defense Alliance.
Right.
All
right.
ACDalliance.org. Thanks for joining us. You, sir, have joined with a bunch of not conservative folks, progressives and others, try to say no, George W. Bush. We need to try diplomacy, not attack. Am I correct?
That's exactly right, Brad. We are part of what's called the Campaign for a New Policy with Iran, and your listeners can learn more about it by visiting www.newiranpolicy.org. And it's actually a transpartisan coalition of liberal, conservative, libertarians, and progressive groups who, as you just said, want to encourage the administration and Congress not to engage militarily with Iran, but to engage diplomatically.
And you guys are holding a national call-in day tomorrow, correct? Tuesday?
We are. And if your listeners could grab their pens and pencils, we have a phone number. And we'd encourage them to call the representatives tomorrow. A phone number would be 800-788-9372. And no matter if you're conservative, libertarian, progressive, liberal, or whatever your stripes might be, it's very important that tomorrow you call your representative and tell them it's time to talk with Iran and not to engage militarily with them.
And so that's when you call 800, that's the switchboard for the Congress?
Yes, it is.
800-788-9372.
Right.
Tell them, and you don't care, right, left, Republican, Democrat, you're, as you say, transpartisan. Now, why are you bucking the trend of these folks who say they're conservative, these John Boltons and the like out there, who say we have to attack Iran or we're going to die, and I'm a conservative, so you have to believe me. Is he? Who's conservative, you or him, Michael Osterlink?
That's a great question, Brad, and I would actually challenge their use of the word conservative, anyone within the neocon perspective. It's a misuse of the term. Conservatives should historically believe in limited government and at least a more non-interventionist foreign policy. And unfortunately, the term conservative has been mistakenly used by the neocons and the Bush administration and others to promote what is generally called empire. Mm-hmm. Intervention abroad, not only in the Middle East, but pretty much all over the world. I think we have bases in 180 countries, which is just ridiculous from a Republic point of view and a conservative point of view.
All right, well, let me try to play the devil's advocate. I don't do this often. I'm going to take the place of the administration here and say, all right, well, conservatism is about keeping a safe, strong defense. And under that notion, is it not then a conservative notion to go into Iran before they can come and attack us? See, I can't even do it with a straight face. But that's the theory that they are supposedly working on, correct?
Well, a couple ways to respond to that. One, I would ask, are they conserving state power or then conserving the limits that the Constitution places on the federal government? And it seems to me most of the policies of both this administration, actually both parties, Democrat and Republican, historically for the past almost about 100 years now, have been enhancing state power, empire abroad, and the security state at home. And I would say that true conservatism, and conservative, libertarian, center-right folks, would be in opposition to both the police state at home and empire abroad. And you mentioned the threats that Iran poses to the United States. Until Iranians cross the border in Mexico or Canada, I don't necessarily feel a great threat from Iran. I believe that the last time they invaded any country in their neighborhood was like 600 A.D. Now, there are some assumptions that the neocon folks hold, which I think need to be looked into, because I think there are some general fears and concerns that some of them are addressing legitimately. I think some others are just possess interest in empire and the military-industrial complex. But there are some legitimate concerns with some of the actions that the Iranians have been taking in terms of Hezbollah and Hamas, their support for both those organizations and elsewhere in the world. Those need to be looked into in depth.
It'd be fair then to say, in trying to figure out what this conservatism thing is, because I tell you, I was interviewing Richard Vagary a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, great.
And trying to figure out exactly what conservatism is and isn't anymore. Would it be fair to say then that attacking Afghanistan following 9/11 was for defense, not for empire. Therefore, it could be seen as a conservative move, whereas then going into Iraq was anything but conservative.
Generally so. I would have some questions about the Afghanistan adventure. However, we were attacked allegedly by Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda was in Afghanistan. We have the right for self-defense and to go after them so they can't hit us again. Actually, some of the folks that you might have either interviewed or read over the years, from Noam Chomsky and other folks on the left, you know, more very progressive left, have suggested over the years since 9/11 that there might have been other means besides militarily to deal with Al Qaeda and the Taliban, and that's possibly so. And so I think we should always reflect backwards and say, were there other ways that we could have dealt with the Al Qaeda and the Taliban differently than we did? And if so, then maybe we should pursue those into the future if something like this ever happens again. But generally speaking, I think the United States does have the right to defend itself against attacks. But that's defend itself against attacks against the United States.
Right.
And not, you know, entangling alliances with other countries, and we have to defend them from attack.
Are you, your coalition, certainly the Liberty Coalition, which I know is a bunch of folks from left, right, center, everywhere else, but the folks at the Campaign for New American Policy on Iran and the American Conservative Defense Alliance, are you conservatives out there feeling particularly lonely these days? I mean, you real conservatives out there?
I think real conservatives, if they look into their heart, have been lonely for many, many years. We've been left by the Republican Party, which rhetorically at least has been pretty good on some conservative issues, but in practice really has not. And I would figure from the left, you know, the Democrats, you can say the same thing about them for the past, you know, many decades as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think either party really reflects the genuine interests of either progressives or conservatives.
Well, let me see if I can build some bridges again here. Dennis Kucinich is currently out on the floor of the House right now reading 35 articles of impeachment against George W. Bush. Would real conservatives feel that his various violations, as I see them, of the Constitution meet the bar of high crimes and misdemeanors and are would be appropriately dealt with by impeachment?
You know, I think so. About a year and a half ago, I believe, Bruce Fein, who's a constitutional scholar and formerly with the Reagan administration,
mm-hmm.
and he's been doing a lot of work on civil liberty type issues, came out in favor of impeachment. And I believe he was interviewed maybe about 9 to 12 months ago on Now with Bill Moyers and said so in the interview. I think he articulated the reasons why, and I think they match well with what I would imagine Congressman Kucinich would say. But I would like to add just two things to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that President Bush acknowledged that McCain-Feingold would be unconstitutional, but he signed it anyways in hopes that the Supreme Court would deal with that as an issue. If, in fact, something like that is true and he publicly acknowledged that something he was signing was unconstitutional, I think that is grounds for impeachment.
Yeah.
And also I would suggest that George W. Bush is not the only president who should have been impeached. I think almost everyone since FDR for clearly violating their oath to the Constitution to defend and protect our country have various issues that they've led into that are impeachable.
Well, but then you get into the matter of impeaching every single president. I guess you're making the distinction between what is impeachable and what crimes should actually have impeachment charges brought against them?
Well, no. What I'm saying is I think if we actually took our Constitution seriously and just impeached one of them, because I think all, not all of them, I think many of them have clearly violated the Constitution. But if we just would impeach one of these many people, including, whether you want to start with President Bush or
we impeached Clinton, didn't that
I
do
would.
It?
You know, do you recall when he attacked the aspirin, the drug factory or the pharmaceutical factory in Sudan?
Right.
That's clearly a violation. You can't attack a sovereign country.
Well,
a violation of international law and violated the Constitution because only Congress can declare war.
But he was impeached. Did that not send the right message? Or was it because he was impeached for the wrong thing?
He was impeached for something else.
I see.
Yeah.
So you feel if they really brought them into a line with the Constitution, with what it requires to go to war and so forth, that would make the difference and would put the future presidents on notice?
I would hope so. But you'd have to actually get some Republicans and Democrats with a backbone in order to do something like that.
You see any on the horizon, Michael Osterlin?
Well, obviously there's some good progressives and there's some good libertarian conservatives. But generally speaking, no, because I don't think either party wants to limit their options in the future in terms of foreign policy adventurism.
Yeah, I don't think so either, and I'm getting real exhausted by seeing folks making excuses for themselves. All right, Michael Osterlink of the American Conservative Defense Alliance, acdalliance.org. Folks should call tomorrow, 800-788-9372, or visit newiranpolicy.org and tell them what when you talk to Congress. Don't attack Iran. Is that the message we need to get there?
Yes, sir. Don't attack Iran. It's time to actually sit down and talk with Iran and solve our problems like adults.
And were you offended when Barack Obama suggested doing exactly that?
No. I think that's a wonderful thing, that if he's actually willing to, once he becomes president of the United States, in fact he does, to sit down and talk with our quote-unquote so-called enemies. Ronald Reagan did the same when he sat down with Gorbachev, the head of the evil empire.
Will a conservative like you, Michael, be considering voting for a Barack Obama?
I would not. I would not. I'm a supporter of either Ron Paul, who's obviously not going to get their Republican nomination, but Bob Barr as a libertarian.
Well, we hope to have Bob Barr on later this week, and we'll talk about some of these issues. Michael Osterlink, I thank you so much for coming in tonight before you got to get to an early meeting in D.C. tomorrow. So much appreciated, sir. And also, by the way, I appreciate all you've done to help out our mutual friend, Sibel Edmonds, in her fight for what is right.
Great. Thanks, Brad. Take care.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Michael Osterlink, newiranpolicy.org. Give them a call. They'd love to hear from you in Congress tomorrow, 800-788-9372. Tell them you heard the conservative Michael Osterlink, and you want diplomacy before attacking Iran. We're going to be back with David. We were able to get David? Great. We're going to have David Swanson from AfterDowningStreet.org, who knows Dennis Kucinich quite well, to talk about these breaking articles of impeachment now being read on the floor of the House of Representatives. Stick with us. We're back after this.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.
Last few minutes here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for PBC. Covering the breaking news right now, 35 articles of impeachment have been filed by Dennis Kucinich against George W. Bush. He's reading them on the floor of the Congress right now, I'm told, and I'm joined by David Swanson, who's we were able to reach here at the last minute. David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org and so many other places. David, how are you, sir?
Wonderful to hear from you, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Gosh, I wish someone would have told me. Had no idea it was going to be coming today. I've already disclosed to folks that I was asked for advice to help out a little bit with some of these articles concerning elections and whatnot, but I had no idea that he would be filing them on the floor of filing them today. Is he still reading them out there?
He's up to Article 12, and he's been going for about 2 hours, so you can imagine what his voice is going to be like after Article number 35. The 35 articles are going to be a sampling of the crimes and abuses of the current president.
So have you seen the document in advance as far as what articles he would be submitting?
I cannot answer that question, but I can tell you that I can tell you what the 12 articles are that have been read thus far.
Okay, give them to us.
Well, they're organized by general themes, and of course, predictably enough, starts with Iraq. So Article 1 is creating a secret propaganda campaign to manufacture a false case for war against Iraq. This is the White House Iraq group. This is the marketing of a war on false basis to the American public.
And this, I should add, the Phase 2 report that came out from the Senate Intelligence Committee did not look at the White House Iraq group, that despite Scott McClellan pointing out in his book that's where the propaganda was happening.
Right, something that was pointed out in the Washington Post by Walter Pincus, and you have to wonder, back in 2005, when Denis Kucinich was pushing a resolution of inquiry that failed by one vote to get the information from the White House Iraq group, where was the Washington Post then? You know, well, it's good to have them now, but so that's, you know, and Article 2 is the false linking of Saddam Hussein and Iraq with the attacks of September 11th. Article 3 is the weapons of mass destruction lies. Article 4 is the idea that Iraq posed an imminent threat to the United States. So the first four articles are all the lies about Iraq. The Article 5 is, you know, the misspending of funds to secretly begin the invasion of Iraq prior to getting any authorization. You go through, you stick with Iraq up through, you know, failing to provide troops with body armor, establishing permanent bases, initiating a war against Iraq for control of that nation's natural resources, among other reasons. That's Article 12. So you're really just, you're Article 12 or 13 now, and really just getting into Iraq. And there are a lot of other crimes to come.
And there was public information last year, I think it was around Thanksgiving, that he had intended to bring these articles, but for some reason he did not. Any idea why he has suddenly chosen today, of all days, to bring these articles of impeachment?
Well, it's something that he's been working on for quite a long time, and I think a large factor is his having gotten the articles prepared and ready to the point that he felt it was appropriate to introduce them. And I think the timing, while we would have preferred to see some of these articles 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever the crimes were committed that are in them, the timing is interesting, with the report having just come out from the Senate Intelligence Committee, finally, with Scott McClellan apparently being listened to by voices in the media who had absolutely no idea we were lied into a war. It's nice timing, and you know, Congressman Kucinich has been very focused for many months on trying to slow down this rush to another war on Iran.
Right.
And that threat is looming larger, as it has from time to time over the past year or two. And I don't know of any way to effectively slow it down or prevent an attack on Iran. You know, there are other Congress members holding meetings and forums and sending letters, you know, please don't attack Iran. But if you don't impeach the president for attacking Iraq on the same fraudulent basis, in the same a criminal way, how are you going to prevent? And so I suspect there may be an article or more mentioning Iran specifically, because we've been told a lot of lies about Iran already.
David Swanson, what happens next? We've got just about a minute here. What happens next with these articles? Do they go anywhere, or do they disappear into the congressional ether?
They go into the United States media tomorrow if we all call the media and make it happen. And the Congress has a certain number of hours to act. This is a privileged resolution. Sometime in the next couple of days, Congress will have to vote, to table, to pass, to reject these articles of impeachment. And so call your Congress member.
Very good. Call your Congress member while you're there. Tell them don't attack Iraq. I'm sorry, don't attack Iran. Too late on the Iraq deal.
Yeah.
Call them 800-788-9372. David Swanson, thanks so much for jumping in here at the last minute to update us on this. Greatly appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks. Thank you, Brett.
All right, David Swanson from AfterDowningStreet.org. 35 articles of impeachment now being filed against George W. Bush by Ohio Democrat Dennis Kucinich. And as I said, issues concerning Iraq, issues concerning Iran, issues about all the stuff that everybody knows about, but nobody has done a damn thing about. Well, until now. We'll see what happens with Kucinich's articles, and I'm sure we'll have more on that tomorrow. Let's see. Where's my list of... where's my... you don't know where it is, do you, Des? All right. I'll just make it up. All right. Hey, listen, I want to thank everyone for joining us here tonight for these past 3 hours, particularly Katrina Rill up there in San Francisco, who has been doing yeoman's work fighting against this technology that just went haywire on us up there today. So, Katrina, God bless you. Take a day off tomorrow. Brian Urban will be with us. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Thanks to all my guests, Taylor Marsh, John Gideon, Desi Doyen, Larry Johnson, Michael Osterlink, David Swanson, and the folks here at KTLK AM 1150 in Los Angeles for allowing us to ruin the joint. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly guest, you know, your friendly blogger from bradblog.com. We will see you right here tomorrow.
Till then, who cares about the cloud?
This is the Peter B. Collins Show from Green 960 San Francisco. Find out more about Peter B. at green960.com.